You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Magazines and newspapers now report that many young people feel hopeless and confused. If you are a young person today, stay tuned. God is offering you hope, strength, and encouragement.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord Jesus Christ, divine Savior, you in your public ministry so frequently demonstrated your love and concern for small children. In the same manner, have mercy upon us and hear our petitions on behalf of the many confused and despairing young people of this generation. O Lord, look with compassion on those confused by the indifference of their parents, by the uncertainty of what is frequently taught in school, or by the uncertain trumpet sound heard so often today in many churches. Grant unto these young people your spirit of grace and truth. By the power of your innocent blood, forgive their burdened hearts of sin. Give them strength and courage to face the challenges of this life. And then, O Lord, grant unto these young people the sure hope of the blessed paradise, prepared for all who place their complete trust in Thee. In Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray, amen. In his struggle to cope with life, one young man recently stated, "Sometimes when I am home alone, I turn up my stereo as loud as I can and really get into it until I almost can't feel myself anymore." Some young people today fill their ears with mind-numbing music. Others try to insulate themselves from society through alcohol. Still others take a trip on drugs. But no matter what method is used, they all reflect the deep and sincere desire to leave a situation which has become too confusing or too difficult to face. Another young man tried in vain to explain why he constantly runs around with the pack. He said, "I don't really know why I have to be going out all the time. I just know that if I'm home by myself alone, I realize how badly I feel, so I just split." The words and actions of more and more young people reflect their deep anxiety and confusion in life. As a result, counselors and psychiatrists are intensifying their search for the culprit cause. For many years, it was simply blamed on increasing technology. More recently, however, the picture has dramatically changed. Sadly but surely, the finger of accusation is now pointing primarily at parents. One social psychologist from a large Midwestern university explained it this way. Just 10 years ago, he said, parents spent more time with their kids and were emotionally available. Today, he added, there is a tendency for parents to emphasize impulse gratification, self-centeredness, and orientation to the here and now. In simple words, too many parents are interested primarily in themselves and what will make them feel good. They have little or no real concern for their children. Is it any surprise that young people today are confused when they are being raised by a generation of adults whose moral values, whose ultimate goal in life, and whose allegiance to their church and government continually changes more quickly than a weather vane in a rapidly approaching coastal hurricane. Not long ago, a young lady wrote our office. As she poured out the deep agonies of her heart, she told how helpless she felt in a family where no one seemed to care for anyone but themselves. What great comfort, hope, and encouragement can be given to her and thousands of other weary and discouraged young people. The comfort is found in the words of the Lord spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." If you have ever experienced periods of being down, blue, or depressed in your life, let these words speak to your heart. Let not Satan tempt you to believe that this God-inspired consolation is merely milquetoast philosophy or cheap intellectualized positivism, or that it is a simplistic poetic expression designed to make you feel good and emotionally high for only a little while. Exactly the opposite is true. Just as the ageless and changeless promises of a loving and gracious God have always effectively provided sustaining comfort for everyone, from lowly paupers to powerful national leaders, so also can you as a young person rest your entire life, your personal concerns, and all thoughts and hopes of your future in the hands of Him who sacrificially loved you through His Son, Jesus. During high school and college days, the lives of aspiring young people are filled with hopes and fears of whether they will be accepted by their peers, of being elected to class offices, and of being selected to cheerleading squads, athletic teams, and other school activities. Just as a few privileged students on the high school or college homecoming court rejoice with exceedingly great joy as they are called by name to serve as a royal couple for the coming year, so also all who fear and love God, not just a select few, but all who love God, can rejoice to know that God loves them individually and has called them by name. As you listen today, let your troubled heart be assured of the love of God as He speaks to you and He says, "I have called you by name. You are mine," God says. Imagine, God does not merely possess some vague knowledge of your existence. He knows you personally. He knows everything about you. He created you. He has called you by name. No greater love can be experienced by any person, young or old, than to receive the Spirit work consolation and assurance that the Almighty and Merciful God provided when He voluntarily sent His only Son as a sin-atoning sacrifice for their salvation. Oh, how necessary that these battle-weary young people realize the forgiving, assuring, and strengthening power of the Almighty God. This is especially important before, during, and after the teenage years, a period in life when the devil, with cleverly devised destructive intentions, instills passions, lust, greed, and rebellion into the hearts of the unwary and the inexperienced. The number and variety of social battering rams pounding against and seeking to take advantage of today's youth is staggering. It is indeed a miracle of God that as many young people as do are able to keep their sanity and forge ahead. As the number of broken homes increases each year, so also does the number of silent and frequently innocent victims, the children. Not many years ago, tragic court fights followed many a divorce to determine which parent would gain custody of the children. Now something even worse is happening. Frequently following current divorce cases, neither parent wants the children. The innocent victims have to shift for themselves. They must either sink or swim. As if these conditions were not bad enough, some high school teachers and college professors continue to teach and promote theories of evolution and Christless man-centered philosophies of humanism. Theories which offer no real hope, but actually promote additional despair. With many of the primary institutions of society, at one time or another, working against youth, slowly eroding their foundation of confidence, surely the only hope for these young people is the abiding love and mercy of a changeless God. God knows and understands your need for friends. He also understands the struggles you may be facing with your parents. In His active obedience during and even before His public ministry, God the Savior experienced all the struggles and temptations of the flesh, even lust and rebellion. The Scriptures teach that Jesus was tempted in every way you have ever been tempted. He knows exactly what you are going through. Again, the Scriptures declare, because Jesus Himself suffered, when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. When the innocent Jesus was maliciously and torturously nailed to the cross, your sins of rebellion toward your parents and teachers were also nailed to the cross with Him. When the Savior cried out in pain from the accursed tree of the cross, He was not reacting to mere physical pain. He was experiencing the pain of your sins of inconsideration for others and constantly placing yourself first. When Isaiah foretold that Jesus would suffer mercilessly by being rejected by those He came to serve, He was also describing young people who would reject Him by spending millions for tickets to attend rock concerts, billions for recordings of rock music, and only token leftover nickels and pennies, at best, for the needs of others and for the offerings to the Lord in church to underwrite the cost of the desperately needed missionary work so necessary to proclaim the life-saving gospel. Even though you may realize you have frequently rejected the love of your Savior, God has not rejected you, as through the work of the Holy Spirit, your heart is made aware of your sin and God's love and grace. Repent and return from your indifference and rejection of the divine Savior. No one, neither you nor I nor anyone in the entire world, will be able to stand before the throne of God by virtue of our own merit on the final day of judgment. The Holy Scriptures teach, however, that all who trust and believe in Jesus will be welcomed into the presence of God. This will happen only and solely because the merits of Jesus, earned through His perfect life, His innocent suffering and death, and His glorious and triumphant resurrection, are imputed to all believers. The righteousness of Christ is ascribed to all who trust the Savior. It is credited to them by grace. Jesus is declared the sinner, and the sinner is declared righteous. As in the case of Abraham, explained in Romans chapter 4, when we believe, the perfect righteousness of Christ is credited to us. We do not become righteous. We are declared righteous. We do not become better and better until we qualify. We are graciously declared righteous in spite of our sinfulness. On one of its cover stories in 1965, Time magazine featured the senior class of the affluent Los Angeles Palisades High School. The story was entitled, Today's Teenagers. It featured young high school students of unparalleled privilege and promise. At that time, many who read the article believed that these young people had so much going for them, they could do nothing but succeed. Only one decade later, however, two members of the same class wrote a best-selling book about their fellow graduates that sketched a dramatic and radically different and tragic portrait. The book was called What Really Happened to the Class of 65. It described what is now known as the Lost Generation. To begin with, in their desire to embrace an inviting but deceptive life of unparalleled freedom and license, the brightest high school graduates merely drifted in society and amounted to nothing. The class golden girl embraced everything from gestalt psychology to living in a teepee. The star football quarterback flipped out on godless mysticism. And ironically, but tragically, the boy voted most popular, committed suicide. The lives of these young people were like a Roman candle, which first rises high, burns brightly, only to quickly plummet and disintegrate. Surely this was not their will. Surely these young people wanted to live and enjoy life like everyone else. Without a doubt, they were the unsuspecting victims of the satanic prince of this world. They had tried to make it in the world without Christ. Knowing the desire of young persons to live vibrant and fulfilled lives, only to later learn of their cruel demise, is enough to cause other young people to ask, how could this happen? How do I know that this will not happen to me? If this is your concern today, listen to the Lord as He speaks to your heart from His living Word. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. When you trust in Jesus and rely on His righteousness earned for you through His innocent suffering and death, the Savior then lives by faith in your heart. You then have nothing whatsoever to fear. As you live your life of faith and trust in Jesus, be encouraged by the words of the Apostle John, who said, "For everyone born of God has overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? Asks the Apostle. With his own resounding answer, he states, only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. A faith based on this divine promise shall surely give expression like the hymn writer who wrote, I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-living head. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to wipe away my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. May I encourage you to live with Jesus every day. Trust Him every moment. Don't turn to Him only when you are desperate or in trouble. Don't treat Jesus like a rabbit's foot or a four-leaf clover, or some other useless gimmick designed to bring good luck. Get to know your loving Savior intimately. Read about His sacrificial love for you in the pages of the Bible. Not long ago, one young listener wrote, I am in search of God as a reality in my life. I want to read everything that will help me along on the path to truth. He continued by saying, if you have other materials that would be helpful in showing me how to believe and rely on God in whatever circumstances, I would be most grateful. And so if you, as you listen today, are in any need whatsoever, if you need materials to help you learn more about the grace, the love, the mercy, and the life-strengthening power of God, be sure to write me. We will do everything possible to assist you in learning the truth. For when you know Jesus through His living Word, then you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Fear not, says the Lord, I have called you by name, you are mine. God grant this to all who are listening today. In Jesus, amen.